Thanks. Let's just pray for a minute. Father, we just thank you for today. We just thank you that you are more than enough. Father, in you we have all sufficiency. Right now, Father, we thank you that we're able to give generously into your house, and we pray for that which is given today, and we just really pray that you would take it and multiply it in Jesus' name. But right now, Father, we just stand in your presence. Let's just take a moment, church. Let's just stand just for a moment in the presence of God. You might like to just lift your hands. I love lifting my hands. It's just really a sign to say to just to say to Jesus, I give everything that I am to you. Right now, Father, I know that you can speak so much louder than that any human voice can speak. So right now, Father, we give you room in our hearts and our minds to shout into our voice, to shout into our life. Father, we give you that room. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just minister right now, Jesus. Thank you for your presence. We honor your presence. Father, where there is uncertainty, Holy Spirit, I know you want to bring a clarity. So right now, Jesus, where there's uncertainty, where there's confusion, where there's questioning, I just declare today that you are a God of clarity. You are a God who wants to bring a sense of direction, a sense of purpose, a sense of settledness. And right now, even in a spiritual sense, I know, Father, you're bringing a settledness. We thank you that we can be still and know that beyond a doubt, you're in control. Beyond a doubt, you are moving and you want to bring a sense of direction and purpose into our lives. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Hey, why don't you grab a seat? And before you do that, actually, why don't you just turn to a neighbor, turn to a couple of people and say, hey, you're looking good this morning. Can you do that? Can you do that with a with a realistic, with a bit of reality this morning? Come on, don't sit down too quickly. If you sat down, why don't you stand up for a minute and go and meet someone new, perhaps someone you haven't met before. Come on, stand up again. Thanks, band. That's wonderful. Why don't you give the band just a great round of applause this morning? Didn't they do a good job? Yeah? Do you think they did a great job? Come on, you're allowed to be a bit responsive. Now, you've got to excuse me, I'm going to just use this stool a little bit today. I don't know how long I'll last on the stool, but I have got a sore toe. Everybody go, oh, yeah, a bit of sympathy would be great. I'll milk it for all it's worth. But it's just, it's good. Hey, welcome to visitors this morning. If you are visiting, we have a little visitors information, it's upside down, a little visitors information flyer, and it'll tell you a little bit about who we are, and in the back, towards the back, there's a little slip you can rip off and fill out, and that'll just help us to connect with you a little bit easier. So why don't we give our visitors a warm welcome this morning? Just love to have you with us. We pray that you feel relaxed and enjoy what's going on today. It's an exciting time for the church. Because I guess Pippa and I have just really arrived here, and so come on and enjoy the ride. So Pippa and I, we're now in our new house, which is such a relief. and it all went smoothly except for my big toe, and so we had these big burly guys, and it's incredible what they can do carrying all of our gear. We've got some heavy stuff. They say that second to a close person in your life dying, moving is actually the most traumatic experience you can have in your life. And how many have experienced that before? Yeah, you know what I mean. So we did that yesterday. We got the key on Friday. We moved yesterday. And here we are today. So it's good. We're here. We're in. It feels like it. So that's great. I want to tell you this morning, really, I want to talk a little bit about myself and where Pip and I have come from. I really want to talk into a topic which is quite obvious today, and it's the topic of transitioning. And how many people feel like they've been in a time of transitioning in the church? I presume that most of your hands would be going up because you've been through 9 months of transition, 9 months without a pastor. But hats off to all of you, obviously to the leaders, but to find this church in such a great state is nothing short of a miracle. A few people agree with me. It's a miracle. We're here. We're here, sitting here today together. There's a great sense of unity. I see maturity. I'm blown away by the amount of maturity that is in this house. The fact that you are still together and you're still able to say, hey, I love you. And you're still together and just enjoying each other. So, you know, I hats off to you guys. And why don't you turn to a neighbor and give them a big smile and say, well done. Yeah, give someone a high five. It's good. And so we are in transition. So I've been through many transitions in my life, and I grew up in across the water in Mount Eden, and back in those days it was the Bronx, Mount Eden. Well, it was a poor cousin to Epsom, and so we were there, and I grew up, and after school I went to AIT, and I believe there's some people here studying it at AUT. It used to be called AIT, and I studied electrical engineering. And so I spent the next 14 years or so as an engineer. And I spent 4 years as a draftsman, went back to Canterbury University and studied very, very hard and did my degree in 2 years. I did the final 2 years of the degree, which is a bit crazy, but I did that and passed most of my papers, which is good. But I did get the degree. And then I spent a lot of time working around different places as an electrical engineer. And Pip was, she does a lot of, she trained as a film editor or a news editor. Actually, she trained at university in the School of Fine Arts and went to Elam School of Fine Arts, majoring in film. And so she did a lot of video editing on the 6 o'clock news, and she'll tell you her story at some point. But we were working in London, and at the time I was just loving life. You know those times in life where you just love everything that's going on? How many are in that place right now? We have three people loving life. Four. Five. There we go. We have five people loving life. You know, we were traveling around and doing all that stuff, and I was just doing some amazing projects and things, and God started getting on my case, and he interrupted my life. And I'm sure a lot of you will know what being interrupted by God looks like or feels like. He interrupted my life. And I used to dream with a friend of mine called Jonathan. We'd call him Grom. And we'd dream. We'd have this connect. We had a life group. And there were two of us for about a year, which was a great life group for a whole year. Anyway, we worked on that and it grew, just in case you're wondering. And so we used to dream. We used to dream about working for church, and so we'd cutting our work hours back and just giving all our time into church life. And I got to a point where I said, "Man, I'm just going to do this." And so I went to my boss and I said, "I'm cutting down to 4 days a week." And at this point, I was ready to become an associate of this big company, a multinational company, and all that. And I was ready to set off in a great career. And God said, "No, I've just got something else for you to look at." And so I cut my work hours down to 4 days a week. As soon as I did that, my bosses knew that I was cutting my career short. I was saying goodbye to engineering. I was saying goodbye to the career. I eventually cut down to 3 days a week, and I was working for the church. I just gave some time into the church. And Pastor Bruce Monk got hold of me. And isn't he a great man, Pastor Bruce? And so he got hold of me and said, "Colin, why don't you come and pastor one of our congregations in London?" So I did that, and I was starting to transition. Then there came a point where Pastor Bruce came to me and said, "Colin, I would like you to consider going to Wellington in New Zealand and to pastor a church." And I was like, "Where is Wellington?" I'd never been to Wellington. And in fact, I had said in the past, Wellington is somewhere I never really want to go. And Pippa had said that as well. And I was like, where's Wellington? I was trying to fool him, you know. I was just, you know, trying to stall. And anyway, it turned out that we moved to Wellington about 3.5 years ago now, and we moved down to Wellington to take on the Apostolic Church there. And it was great, great experiences. And here we are today, transitioning again. And transitioning can be a really difficult time. So I want to talk a bit about that. You might be transitioning in your own life. I even look at my parents, and they're transitioning from working into retirement phase. You might be older here today, and you're transitioning somehow, trying to come to terms with what God has for you right now, even in the context of this church. You might be, I see a whole bunch of young people. Are you guys great? Yeah. Okay, older. How many are older? Sort of. How many people over 20 here? Okay, now I want you to give. What do you think of these young people? Are they good? Are they good people? You know, when I grew up in the church, and I one of the things I really get a little bit frustrated with is seeing young people in church not really wanting to be there, and they're just really there because their parents are making them. And so it's just great to see you guys want to be here, don't you? That's a risky question to ask. And so younger people, what about the older generation here? Great people, aren't they? They love you. Trust me, they love you. Because I've talked to them, they love you. And what was I talking about? Yeah, so many great young people. And, you know, I know what it's like to transition. You know, you might be a university, high school, you might be a high school transitioning into the first year of university. It can be a traumatic time. You know, there's all sorts of pressures coming at you. But God wants you to transition well. God wants us as a church to transition well. I know as a mum watching my wife, she transitioned from working, doing some great work, loving adult company, to now spend a lot of time with babies. And it can be difficult to transition. And, you know, but I know that God is in transition. God is a God who wants us to progress, to transition well. It's not a matter of whether we are going to transition, because we are going to transition. Life is all about transitioning, changing, molding into what God has for us. It's how we go about that. And so today, I'd love for us to look at John chapter 21. And so can you turn there with me? I do just read from the New Living Translation, or I'm going to be doing that today. John chapter 21. And I realize probably Pastor Bruce has preached from this message recently. Is that right? Is anybody? Maybe not. Okay, because he's been, but I'm gonna preach from this today, John chapter 21. And what's happened is that we have this guy, this man Peter, and Peter's a loudmouth. How many loudmouths do we have? Come on, Kevin, put your hand up. I do know a few already. And so Peter is the spokesman for the disciples. He's a loudmouth. He's the man, you know, in Matthew 16. And he said, Jesus said to him, "Who do you say that I am?" And he said, "I'm Jesus the Christ," which is a revelation. And Jesus said, "I'm going to build the church upon you, Peter. I'm going to build the church upon this amazing revelation that you have, that Jesus really is God." And he comes along and he gets humbled by a little servant girl. He denies Jesus when a little servant girl comes to him and says, "You know this Jesus, don't you?" And he denies it three times. We know that story. And so Peter is all over the place. He's quite spontaneous. I love spontaneous people. My wife is spontaneous, so I love spontaneous people. And so Peter is a little bit like this. Jesus then dies, which is the end of the dream for some of these disciples. He dies. He dies for 3 days. That means he is actually dead. He's not just dead. He's dead in terms of the cultural context. He is raised again after being really dead. And he starts to appear to disciples. And we pick up the story here where he's appearing to his disciples. And so Peter's out with his mates in the boat. How many people love fishing here? Yeah, so he's out fishing and he didn't catch much. So he comes back in the shore and there's this odd-looking man, or there's a man standing on the shore, and it's actually Jesus, but they don't really know at this stage. So Jesus says, "Look, go out and throw the net on the other side of the boat." And of course, this is the second time this miracle has happened. And so they do this and they catch a massive amount of fish. And as they start to come back in, Peter, the spontaneous man, he puts his cloak on. He puts his jacket on. You can read it in a minute or later on. But he puts his cloak on. He jumps out of the boat. He leaves the disciples in the boat. He jumps out and he runs to the water. And he embraces Jesus. Just stand up there, Ewan. Oh, I remember your name. Isn't that good? There's a lot of names in this room. And he embraces him. Say Ewan's at Jesus and he embraces him. Come on, how would Jesus embrace Peter? It's not a side hug. It would be a full hug. Yeah, anyway, I've embarrassed you enough. Sorry, Ewan. Ewan's a great man, isn't he? And so, not unlike Jesus, even. And so he embraces, and they have a great time. It's a great shindig, and it's just Jesus is actually alive. Wow. Jesus is actually here. He didn't just die and go away. He's actually come back. He's God because he's risen again. What a great gospel we have, isn't it? And so we pick up the story here. Let's read it. Verse 15. After breakfast, which was fish, it wasn't Weet-Bix, it was fish in those days. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Now, this is an incredibly provocative statement. We would expect Jesus to come and to say nice words and to pat Peter on the back. But the very first words that he uses is Simon, son of John. Now, Simon is actually Peter's original name. And so he's referring right back to an original identity that Peter had, which is Simon. He didn't use his revelatory name. He used his original name. What an offense this would be to Peter. Can you imagine Jesus coming to you and starting to go back and talk to you like you were just a baby in Christ, so to speak? He was calling him Simon. It was like an offense to him. Imagine Jesus coming and offending you. How many have been offended by Jesus? That's good, I think. And so he was offending him. He says even more so. He goes, "Do you actually love me?" This is to Peter, one of the greatest disciples that there was. "Do you love me, Peter?" Can you imagine Jesus coming to you and saying, "Do you really love me? Do you really love me? Do you really love me?" We're going to see that he read it three times. It's like me coming to my wife and saying, "Pippa, do you really love me?" We tell each other that we love each other, every minute of the day. So she knows that I love her and that she loves me. But it'd be like me coming to my wife and going, "Do you really actually love me though, Pip?" She gave me the glad eye, if you know what that is, which means that she does. But do you really? You know, it gets a bit awkward, doesn't it? He goes on, "Yes, Lord, of course," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Well, then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, then feed my sheep. He goes on, "I tell you the truth, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go." Jesus said this to let them know, or to let him know, by what kind of death he would glorify God. And then Jesus told him, "Follow me." I'm just going to read a few more verses. Peter turned around and saw behind them the disciple Jesus loved, the one who had leaned over to Jesus during supper and asked, "Lord, who will betray you?" And Peter asked Jesus, we know this is John he's talking about, Peter asked Jesus, "What about him, Lord?" And Jesus replied, "If you want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? As for you, follow me." In other words, I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but in other words, he was saying, "Don't worry about John. You just play your own game." And today, I want to just talk into how, as a church, how you, if you are transitioning into a new phase of life, how are we going to position ourselves to embrace all that God has for us. I just have a picture of when we were moving. We moved from Wellington, and there's a whole lot of furniture in our house, and there was a cot that Ted sleeps in. And I went into the room because the movers came and moved everything out. And these guys, two guys, were really struggling to get this cot out of the door, out of Ted's the room. And they were trying every which way to get it out. And so I saw them after a while. And I went to them and said, I actually built this cot inside of the room. And so you might actually just want to dismantle it to get it out. You're not going to be able to do that. And so we had a bit of a chuckle. And so they had to dismantle it to get it out of the room. Sometimes we can build things up in our lives that can get so established. Sometimes we can build things up in church life that can get so established that we can't actually get it out of the door. Jesus wants us to get what is going on in here out of the door into a world, into the North Shore, into Browns Bay, into wherever we are in our worlds. He wants us to take what is in our life to get it out into the world that desperately needs it. And so there are times, and I believe God is even will be taking us through times where we have to dismantle some things to transition us into the real world, into the world that desperately needs Jesus. See, sometimes even strengths can turn into weaknesses. That was a great cot. I built it myself. Well, I assembled it myself. I didn't build it. It was a great cot, and it served a great function. But what we need to do is to transition, because we needed to move everything that we were. We needed to move to a new location. We needed to move up here and do what God had called us to do. And so sometimes something that's a strength can turn into a weakness. I think sometimes, and let me provoke a little bit this morning, sometimes friendships that are strong can become a weakness. The reason why is because, you've got to hear me here, we love great community. Anyone that loves Jesus loves community. We love friendship. I just love all the life groups that are going on. I attended a life group this week, and it was just great to see great close friendships and fellowship, and that's wonderful. But if those friendships become so tight, so wonderful, so great that other people can't penetrate into your community, into your groups, then it's not a good thing. It's a strength, but it can become a weakness. And so, look, I'm not saying that we have that in our church, but we've got to watch out for things like that. God perhaps sometimes needs to dismantle something in our life in order for us to transition and to push forward into what He's got for us. How many believe that God's got something good for this church? Hey, so let's just pick out. I want to leave you with some things this morning. In order for us to position ourselves where God can use us, perhaps dismantle us a little bit, and to take us forward. How many are nervous about this word dismantle? Come on, be honest. Come on, don't be nervous. I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit is going to do something significant in it. The first thing we're going to do is to avoid offense. And Jesus was so offensive to Peter. If I was Peter, I would be ropeable. I would be just, I probably wouldn't argue with Jesus, but I'd be pretty mad under, I'd be steam coming out of my ears. Peter had an opportunity to be offended. Every one of us will have an opportunity, have had an opportunity to be offended. I can guarantee you. You know what church life is like. And so it's not the fact that there is an opportunity to be offended, but what I ask is that we learn to deal with that and deal with it in a good way. Peter was hurt. He was hurt. Sometimes in life, sometimes in church life, we can be hurt. But what Peter did is he didn't let that hurt turn into an offense. And this is just something I heard just during the week from Sam Monk, actually. And he just talked about a distancing. See, an offense, when we get hurt, the challenge is, say if you and I'm picking on you this morning, Ewan, is that okay? Now, pretend Ewan hurt me for some reason. He stepped on my toe or something, which would really hurt. Actually, Esther ran across my toe during the praise and worship. Anyway, you know, the natural thing that we can do in life is that we can back off from each other and we can create distance between us. As we back off, as we create a distance between us, we get distracted. I can now see a whole lot of other voices coming into my mind, perhaps other people coming in and giving me their particular opinion about Ewan, who is a great man, and he didn't mean to offend me. He was perhaps speaking the truth in love, where grace and truth kiss and they come together. He was perhaps doing his best to come and talk to me. But I'm backing off, and I'm getting all sorts of things going on in my brain now. As distance comes into us, I get distracted. As you get distracted, you can get disconnected. And so there's a staging process that offense or a hurt can create distance, which can create a distraction, which can then create a distraction, a disconnection. And so when we come into a time of transition, there is opportunity, especially if you know Jesus. Especially if you live around Jesus, you'll know that He will provoke you. You know that He will challenge you. The Holy Spirit will challenge you. He challenges me so much all the time. He asks me to do stuff I don't want to do. He asks me to get up at 6 o'clock and to pray to Him and to read the Bible. And sometimes I just don't want to do that. Sometimes it's like the last thing I want to do. But you know, as I face Jesus and I stay close to Him, if I stay close, face to face, like if I'm, you know, with Ewan, and you know, let's stick together and really nut things out. The second thing I want to leave with you today is that we've got to commit to the process. Peter did stay close to Jesus. He kept responding to Jesus Christ. Come on, let's commit to the process of responding to Jesus. How many people are responsive here today? Okay. We've got. I know you are. You're an incredibly responsive church. I love it. You know how to laugh, don't you? You know how to laugh, have fun. Let's keep responsive in our heart. Let's keep a soft heart toward Jesus, and stay committed. Now, here's a little illustration. I love surfing. I'm not very good. I ride a big longboard because I'm not good. I'm too overweight and I'm too unfit because I don't get out often enough. But I do love surfing when I get out there. What I love sometimes is that you get up on a wave and you're surfing away and you're doing all these amazing moves and stuff if you're really good, but I don't do that. And so I've got this big longboard. I basically just stand up and stand there and just enjoy the view. And it's just a beautiful ride. And I'm cruising along and the wave will start to die off. But if you're lucky, the wave will reform and will create a new identity of itself. And if you stay on long enough, if you commit to the process of the wave, you will actually get a longer wave. You'll get a smoother wave. You'll get a nice long ride. And that's, as a surfer, that's what I love, is a nice long ride on a great wave. But you have to commit to the process of this wave reforming. Now, if you're on a small little board, like probably what Ben rides, you ride a small short board, don't you? It's really hard to stay on the wave. You need stability on the wave to be able to commit to the process. And my board is a big long, it's 9 foot. And so I can stay on the wave a lot longer than you can, Ben. I bet you we'll have a competition. Because Ben's real good and he just rides these short little waves, little boards. And don't laugh, man. I thought you were his friend. Gee. Well, I thought Ben was a great surfer. How many have seen Ben surf? Is he a great surfer? There you go. Potential, he's got potential. But it's the environment of stability. And right now, can we pray? Oh, I feel this, the Holy Spirit just wants to do something right here. And it's the prayer that I prayed before I preached. Right now, Jesus, I thank you for stability. I just thank you that there is a stable environment in this house. Oh, Holy Spirit, I just pray you drop a sense of stability into our spirit. Lord, I thank you that you've given us a great surfboard to ride. And Lord, you want to reform some things. Perhaps there's a wave that has been great in the past, but you want us to perhaps stay the course, and stay on our feet, and not to consider even jumping off and catching something else, but to stay the course right now. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd bring inspiration into every life. Just as we're looking into your word, you bring inspiration as to what that stability might look like for us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for your calming influence into this church for great people. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes an environment, well, I do know an environment is very, very important. See, stability in a church life or stability in our lives is a lot to do with the environment that we find ourselves in. I want to create a stable environment for my daughter and for my son. And we want to create a stable environment in this church as well, don't we? Yeah, we do. And often we've got to be in the right environment. My little girl, she loves to play with Play-Doh, and I love playing with Play-Doh as well. It's just great reliving your childhood through your kids. And we play with Play-Doh, and what happens is if she leaves, say she makes a turtle, and she leaves the turtle out on the bench overnight, it becomes all crusted and hard. She comes back in the next morning, or I come in the next morning to try and play with it, and it's all crusted and hard, and we can't actually reform it into anything else. What she hasn't done is to put it back in the fridge, because we keep the Play-Doh in the fridge, so that it stays in a nice, cool environment, so that it stays supple and ready to be formed, and so that the next morning we can come back and play with it again. You know that in Romans chapter 9, verse 11, I think I've quoted that right, the Bible says that who are we to, the potter has power, chapter 9, verse 21, the potter has power over clay. And who are we to declare to stay hard and not allow the Holy Spirit to do something in our life in this time? And I believe God's challenging us. Come on, are you in the right environment? Stay in the right environment. Stay on that surfboard during this time, during this phase of life. I believe the next 3 months is a time where we do have to stay together. We're going to be listening to the Holy Spirit as to what He wants to do in the church. And I just challenge, come out tonight at 6:30. I know it's short notice, but if nothing else, we're going to get together and have fun. But I'm going to be talking a little bit about what we're going to do and see over the next 3 months. We're going to stay and stay focused and stay stable in a great environment. Just two more things before we finish this morning is that we've got to really avoid comparison. And I love this little dialogue between Peter and Jesus. And Peter said, well, what about John? What about John over there? See, Jesus was saying to Peter, go, or Simon, or Peter, go and feed my sheep. This is what I want you to do. He was explaining what's going to happen. He was also explaining the type of death that Peter was going to face, which was a pretty horrible death. And so Peter looks around. He goes, well, what about John? What about him over there? And Jesus says, don't worry about John. I'm talking about you, Peter. Don't draw comparisons with the other people around you. Don't draw comparisons even with close people around you, because Jesus is something very unique for your life. And Jesus has something unique for every individual life. I even look at couples. I'm looking at you guys right here. Rob and Marianne. Right, I remembered your name, didn't I? Yep. And individuals, you're a couple which forms an identity, but there is still an individual call on each one of your lives. And I even believe the Holy Spirit is just prophesying into you. There is a joint purpose that God has for you, but I still also see Holy Spirit saying, look, there's something for you, Rob. There's something that He's got specifically tuned in for you and specifically tuned in for you, Marianne. Don't be afraid to perhaps explore these on your own, and then God may bring you back, but I just see there's a perhaps something that God's got for each individual, and then you can come back together. Let's not compare ourselves to our wives, our husbands. Let's not compare ourselves to our great mates. I see Ben here, he's just a great drummer. I'd love to be a great drummer, but I'm not comparing myself to Ben because I'm not a drummer, but I do play a bit of guitar, and I'm comparing myself to who was on the guitar this morning. Oh, Tim, that's right, because I was thinking, I thought you were a sound guy, Tim, and then I see you on the guitar. Multi-talented man, my goodness, he does accounting stuff too, and all sorts. He does graphics. What does Tim not do? I don't know. And so I could look at a man like Tim. Dishes. Oh, okay, I see Dad. Yeah. I could look at a man like Tim and compare myself to him, but I cannot compare myself to Tim because I'll get disillusioned in myself. And so, come on, the last thing Jesus wants us to do is to compare ourselves individually amongst each other, but also to the church down the road. Don't compare yourself to the church down the road. God's got something unique for us to do here. Life Changes Church. There is so much more for Life Changes Church to do for the name of Jesus Christ. And I know there's friends that only you can touch right now in your sorry, I'm eating this microphone. If we can. But there's friends for you to touch in your environment, your work environment, high school. There are people for you to touch that Jesus is speaking to you about. Who's Jesus speaking to you about? I moved into a great house just yesterday, and I've met amazing, I've met neighbors. Oh, I presume they're amazing neighbors because they are. They've been really nice. Jesus has put me there to touch my neighbors, and we've already started praying for them. Let's open our doors to those that need Jesus. The last thing I just want to talk about is that we've got to know the love of Jesus. We've got to know the love of Jesus. And Jesus kept saying to Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Allow the Holy Spirit, allow Jesus to ask you today, do you love me? Do you love me? It's not just a superficial, yeah, Jesus, I love you. Do you love me? What would you do? How would you go out of your way to love Jesus? What's extravagant that you can do to love Jesus? Maybe it's getting up and spending just a little bit more time with Jesus this week. There's a challenge. Maybe an extra 10 minutes, just going a little bit further. You know, when you're doing your Bible study or something, there's like a natural sort of finish. You're sitting there praying and all holy, and suddenly the holiness fades. And you're sitting there and it's like, oh, I think it's time to go and do something else. I challenge that is a great time to just press in a little bit further. When you feel like all the holiness is left, press in for another 10 minutes. There's a challenge for someone this morning. How many want to take up that challenge? Oh, good on you. That's great. And so the love of the Father. Can I have the band just come, please? Especially the beautiful keyboard tinkler. I love keys. And just the beautiful band to come. Praise God that my toe is held out. And I feel no pain in my toe. Although I'm still sitting here on the stool. It's just a bit of an easy option, actually. I should do this every Sunday. And why don't we just remain seated? I'm going to pray and the keyboard's just going to play. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you've got a heart for this church. I know it, Jesus, without a doubt. You have a heart for this church. You have a heart for these people. And Lord, right now I declare your sovereignty into this church. I declare your love into this church. I declare Holy Spirit into this church. I declare that this church is a church that loves Jesus. This church is a church that belongs to the living God. I bless you for that, God. I thank you, Jesus, that you do want to take us to a place that is so much more. You want to take us to a place that is so much greater. Thank you, Jesus, for your Holy Spirit that just wants to speak. Thank you, Father. Here's something I feel the Holy Spirit saying right now. If you feel like you want to join in solidarity, this is the word solidarity. Pretty sure it's a word. Solidness. I feel there's a strength in this place. I feel there's a solidness in this place. And right now, I'd love for everyone who has a sense of solidness. You sense a solidness. You want to stand in a united way. In your time, to stand right now. You don't have to stand. In fact, stay seated if you want to. Because I'm going to pray for you. Right now, for everyone that comes into this house, I do pray that there would be a sense where they would feel a unity in this house. Oh God, if your people are able to stand together, your people are able to stand shoulder to shoulder, perhaps provoking each other, but to be able to walk through and to stay close without backing off. I know you'll be able to transition, you'll be able to move us forward. Lord, perhaps for those that want to feel connected, for those that want to feel part of the community here, part of the family, I just pray you do something in their heart today. Something that only you can do. We can throw our arms open, we can smile, we can put on great food, But Jesus, we lift you up. There comes a supernatural unity in the house. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just lift our hands to Jesus just for a moment. You know I love doing this because it just is a physical, it's a physical outworking sometimes of what is in our heart. Jesus, we receive you right now. Holy Spirit, we just breathe you in right now. A freshness in this place. Thank you, Jesus, for a freshness in every life. Just receive something of the Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit challenge you in this week? What does he want you to do differently this week? Let's not stay the same, church. Let's not stay the same people. Let's not come back next week and be the same people. Let's be something that's reflective of Jesus a little bit more. Thank you, Jesus. You're challenging us to change. Thank you for the journey. Just right now, if I can have arms down, because I want to appeal, you can remain standing. If you feel tired, you're welcome to sit down. But I'd just like just an undistracted time just for a moment, because I'd like to appeal to those that don't know Jesus yet. And I can never assume in any room that everybody knows Jesus Christ. I've been talking about this man, Jesus. Amazing man. He's a God man. He's Jesus, the living God. The God who came down into our physical world and became a physical man. He wants to know you today. Jesus wants to know you. It's not like, you're allowed to come and know me. He wants to know you. He has a desire to know you. And the Bible says that all of us, none of us at all have any right to come to God, because God's holy, he's perfect, and all of us have in some way messed up in life. No one here in this room can say, yeah, I'm perfect. I stand here a perfect person. I'm righteous, self-righteous. We've all done something that has annoyed God, that has hurt God in some deep way. But the Bible says that if you accept Jesus Christ into your life, you are able to come to him. You see, sin and the stuff and the wrong stuff that we do in life separates us from God. The Bible says that really we deserve punishment for that. Like a naughty kid, we really do deserve to be punished. But Jesus came to this earth to take that punishment on himself. And I tell you what, church, that's an amazing revelation to me, that Jesus came into this world to take a punishment that I really deserve so that I can know God the Father. And so this morning, if you don't know Jesus, I'd love to introduce him to you. If you don't know Jesus and you'd like to respond to him today, I'd love just to meet with you after the service. But right now, I'd just love for you to lift your hand real high. Every eye is closed right now. Every head is bowed. And just right now, if you want to know Jesus, you've never known him in the past, or maybe you have known him and you've walked away from him, and you need to say, Jesus, I really need to get my life right with you. Just lift your hand real high, and I'm going to see your hand. We're going to pray. And we're going to go on an exciting journey together. I see a hand right down the back. Just lift your hand real high so I can see it. I'm just looking around. I see that hand right there. It's awesome. Just others this morning. I'm just going to take a moment. Just others that need to know Jesus. You're going to have to catch my eye as well. Lift your hand real high. This is the reason all of us are sitting here today. It's the reason we come here week after week. It's because we know Jesus Christ. It's not just because everybody's cool and funky in this room. It's because Jesus is the living God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you just for salvation in this house. Thank you, Father. I just want to clarify. Is there someone just over the back there? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We just thank you that you've got such a great plan for this house. It's an exciting time to be alive, an exciting time to be in this church. Lord, we thank you for those that have responded this morning. We just thank you for everything that's gone on in this service today. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Hey, we're going to sing a song, an upbeat song. And if you need ministry this morning, if you need just someone to stand with you, to pray with you, and just to pray for a need, then please come down. This space is here available for you. There's great people who can pray for you. So please don't be shy in coming down. But stick around, have a cup of tea or coffee, and enjoy each other. And hopefully we'll see you at 6:30 tonight.